let's read. Every person will read. How many verses we have here?
24.
Yeah, everybody will read 2. Okay, let me just start.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
Okay, who has the better translation?
Closer.
The same.
Closer. 139, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 139.
Can I say something about this psalm?
Sure.
You know when you wrote this psalm, David? You know when?
Tell us.
When he, this Bathsheba, when he had, Bathsheba, so he wrote this psalm to God. 129. I know that for sure.
129?
Not 139.
139.
Yeah, 139, this one.
We know when he repented in that sin, he wrote Psalm 50. Well, yeah, he was writing.
Yeah, 139.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
So, who has a better translation? Better English?
It's good English.
I knew she's gonna say that. No, but I mean, somebody, maybe Anya would
easier.
Not understand.
Easier.
Okay, let's. I'm sorry, yeah. I correct myself.
Same.
Easier English.
I have almost.
Okay, my translation says, Oh Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. God sees everything about us. Every little tiny thing God knows. You see, it says, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. In that English, it says what? Verse 1.
Thou you hast searched me and known me.
You know me, but know, the word know means like deep knowledge, like husband knows his wife. So,
you hast researched me and you have known me.
So, thought number one from these two verses. God knows your problems. God knows everything you go through. God sees every second of our lives. God, not looking at us with judgment all the time. No, he looks at us as his children. He loves and adores us every second. He sees everything we go through. Okay, Emmanuel, verse 3 and 4.
Yeah, I have the same versions.
Okay.
Thou compassest my path and my lying down.
Wait,
and
which verse is it?
3.
Oh, okay.
And art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together.
Who can read it easier in English?
You compassed my path and my lying down, and you have acquainted with all my ways. Here is not a word in my tongue, but you, O Lord, you know it all together.
Okay, you just changed. Marina's interpretation. Very good. Can you imagine? In this translation, it says, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it. Now, the next verse goes deeper. The first verse says that God knows everything we go through. These verses, they say, God knows even what we are going to do. So God knows our future. How could that be? I don't know.
Because he created us.
Of course he knows.
This is really, our mind cannot comprehend it. How God knows all the future.
God knows everything. He created us. He created
from
us.
Yeah, but somebody says, well, I can go left and I can go right. If God knows that I will go right now, I will go left and I will trick God. but still God knows he will go left. So that's the point. God knows the future. How is that? How does that work? I don't know. It's like above our mind. But that makes us to relax even more. God knows if we did the mistake. God knew we're going to do this mistake. And God already prepared help, even in that mistake. And God already prepares a place where we fall. You know, like we have a saying, like, if I knew where I fall, I would put some
pill.
Put some pill down.
Hey. Yeah.
Put
hey
psyllium with those
stuff. Hey stuff.
Yeah. If I knew that I fall over there, then I would put something. God knows where we will fall. And God already prepares that to be solved. That's so amazingly, like, his love is unimaginable. It's hard to comprehend that love. Okay, let's go further. Verse 5 and
you,
6.
You have beset me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it.
Somebody else, another translation? Is there English?
Do I have a Bible, please?
Yeah.
Or let me read it to you, verse 5.
No, I want to take your Bible. Thank you.
No, I don't.
We have another one. Theo, we have another one. It says, you go before me and follow me. Now it says, God is before me and God is behind me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. So David speaks here that even before we go somewhere, before we go and meet somebody, before we go to another job or different circumstances, or God is preparing our way even before we get there. It's not that God is with me and whenever I get somewhere, God is helping me in those circumstances. No. So many times I notice that I go somewhere and that person is saying, you know what? I'm thinking about you the whole morning. I'm so happy I met you. Like, you're thinking about me the whole morning. God was preparing the person to meet me. Or so many times I come to the place where I need to do something and I see that everything is ready for me to be there. It's like God is really going ahead of me and prepares the way for us. That's another manifestation of God's love. We need to trust that God is going before us and making all the crooked places straight. If God sees that we can get to the car accident on the way, God prepares all the road for us. If God knows we can, we will go certain direction and there's some gonna be danger over there, God will clean the way from us, that nothing will ever happen to us.
Just page.
Theo, it's Psalm 139.
Yeah, 7, 8, 7.
Theo, try to follow us, okay?
Okay, okay.
Try to follow us.
Where can I go from your spirit?
No, verse 5 and 6 we were reading.
No, I didn't.
Okay, verse 7,
seven
and 8. Can you read that, Theo?
Yes. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there.
That's enough, that's enough. Oh, actually, let's finish the thought, yeah. Go on.
If I take wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there you have, even there you, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? Let's stop over here. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. So what does that mean for us? Who wants to share?
God is everywhere with us. It doesn't matter whether we're sinners, we're not sinners, we're doing good, we're doing bad. He's always with us.
So So it's not only geographically, but circumstantially, emotionally, spiritually, wherever we are, in any emotionally pressed down, emotionally destroyed, or geographically, whenever we are, or circumstances, wherever we are. Now, can you try to think, all your life, everywhere you go, 24/7, God is with you. He's preparing every circumstances to help you. He surrounds you like a shield. He goes before you and He's behind you. He knows every thought that you have even before you speak it out. It's not babysitting. It's like babysitting multiplied million. It's like God created us to be always in connection with Him. That's life that He wants us to live. Always with Him, always in His presence, always in peace, that God is with me, God is going before me, God is behind me, God is protecting me, His power is all over me, His favor surrounds me like a shield. He goes before me to make every crooked place straight. I can do everything with Him. With Christ, I can do all things. I am more than a conqueror with Jesus. This is life He created us for. To always be with Him and to have our peace from that thought that He's with me. Okay, let's go further. Verse 11.
If I say, surely the darkness...
Speak up.
If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from me, from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you.
How can you explain that? Or actually, partially.
It's actually really hard to understand if you can read someplace.
Who has an easier English? Am I the only one who has the easier English?
I think so.
You would make English. Verse 11, 12.
11, 12,
yes.
If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day does, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you.
Well, it's the same what we were discussing. Like in this translation it says, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from it. It's like David says, no matter what happens, even if I want to get out of this presence, I cannot. Even if I do not want to talk to you. For example, we meet some people who hate God, who do not want to know God, who atheists,
like
who atheists.
Yeah, but we'll come. We'll come when atheists come.
Good. we all were in communism and we all met atheists all over our life. So the thought that David says here, even if people want to be out of God's presence, He's still with them. Everywhere where they go. So it's not because we are special, God is with us. Not because we believe in God, so God is with us. No, it's because that's how God loves every person. Even if he is a believer or not a believer. If he is praying every day, not praying every day. Reading Bible every day, not reading. God is with every person on the planet Earth. Every person is precious. And God is taking care about everyone, no matter what he does, no matter what he thinks. If you feel miserable, if you didn't pray at all for the whole week, God's still with you everywhere you go. God's love is still with you. God's care is still with you. It's unbelievable love. If people would just know at least one piece of that love, God loves us so much. Okay. not a cut.
Verse 13. For you created me in my being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well.
Brittany, let's read it again.
For you have formed me in my inward parts, and you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that you all know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought to the lowest parts of the earth.
Yeah, that's it. In this translation it says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Can you imagine? God, when you were in a mother's womb, made every aspect of your inside, physical body and soul, your talents, your gifts, your inclinations, your personality. He made it amazing, unbelievable. He made it himself. We are a piece of art of God's hand. We are his masterpiece. Masterpiece. It's like if God created every animal is so beautiful. If you look at the physical world, every animal is really kind of gorgeous. But God calls us, Bible says, we are his masterpiece. So we are created much more complex than any animal. We are created so wonderful. So we should always respect ourselves. The biggest way you can, respect yourself. Like, I am created by God. I am masterpiece. I am the best piece of art from God's hands. And when devil speaks to you, you cannot do this, you're miserable, you can do nothing. When you feel these negative thoughts, when you feel, you need to listen to that.
Sorry.
Every time, because the devil is bombarding our mind with all negative things. You can never get married, or you can never make it, you're not able to do it, or you're not worthy, or all kinds of negative things. We should always remember, I am the best masterpiece of God. I am unique. I am created by the Most High God. I am valuable. I am precious. I am gorgeous. You should look at the mirror and say, I am beautiful. I am uniquely beautiful. There's nobody on the whole planet who is beautiful as I am. I have the most beautiful nose. I have the most beautiful eyes. My body is the most beautiful. Why? Because this is God's masterpiece. It's a sin to look at your parts of the body and say, why that one has a bigger this and why that one has a bigger that? I wish I would have eyes like Tanya, or I wish I could have nose like Katya, or it's like I do not respect the art of God. So we should look at ourselves, and every time when we look, we should be amazed and acknowledge that I am uniquely gorgeous. Put your shoulders back, lift your head high, and say, I am the most beautiful piece of God's art. No, that's true. That's what we need to do. Because devil is showing us all the magazines, all the graphic art of the computer guys who are making these images. Or Photoshop images, and we think, I wish I could be so thin, and I wish I could be so this and so that. And devil is speaking to us constantly. You see, if you would be a little bit more beautiful, then maybe If you would be a little dazed, maybe. No. This is truly completely opposite of what God says. God says you are beautiful as you are. You are beautiful as you do not compare yourself to anybody. You do not dare compare yourself even with your twin. You don't compare yourself to anybody. Why? Because we are unique. And to be honest with you, I had to teach myself that. Because when I was a child, I thought my feet are not as handsome or beautiful as other boys have.
Feet?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll be honest with you.
Why would you care about your feet?
Because I thought feet supposed to have nothing in the middle.
Your legs.
I mean, legs.
Yeah.
Legs.
What do you mean,
I thought I was putting my legs like this, and I had the space in between. And I see other guys, when they put feet together, they're like this.
Yeah.
Legs.
Legs.
I'm sorry, legs. So these are legs. Right?
Yeah.
Feet are over here.
Yeah.
How do you call it? So whatever. So I thought, God. No, when I became a believer already, I thought, God, why I have these kind of legs?
Maybe it's for reason.
And I remember I was doing all kinds of exercises. I was doing a split between chairs just to make my feet like
straight.
Straight. Legs, straighter. I didn't like my legs. I didn't like my nose in the childhood because it has a little bump.
Gives you a character. Your nose gives you a character. Yeah, it's a character. Yeah.
Well, maybe. But anyway, my father was always like, be proud of your nose because you're Jewish. And so on and so on. But still, I was like, I wish it would be like. So, and devil is trying to teach us to compare ourselves with somebody. But this is wrong. We should relax in what we have, in how God created us, and love every part of the body.
It's okay to do exercise for legs, for nose. It's okay to improve. For tail. It's okay.
For nose?
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. Nothing wrong with that, but you don't have to be distracted of this.
No, of course we exercise to keep ourselves in shape, but we should love what God created. That's what I mean.
Well, the idea is like when those things start in your mind, and so pretty soon you realize you're not good enough, and it might start with your looks, it might start with something small, but it keeps going. And in this psalm, it's saying, God's telling you, you are good enough.
Because so many ladies, they do plastic surgeries, and I have nothing against it, please understand me correctly. Sometimes, really, maybe it's something good. But what's wrong is to dwell on the thought that I'm not good enough, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm terrible, and my feet are terrible, my legs are terrible, my hands are terrible, my this terrible, my that terrible. That destroys our personality. Then we feel about ourselves miserable, then we feel not worthy, not able, we feel depressed, we feel miserable, and we cannot accomplish anything. So we should be proud of every piece of our soul, our talents, our body, our hands, feet, hair, nose, eyes, everything.
Who knows the list?
Great God, when you don't agree.
Okay, my translation says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, so in secret, as I was woven together, woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Can you imagine? God was expecting the day of our birth. Every day of my life, does it say also in your translation, verse 16, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Does it say that?
Yeah.
Every day of my life was recorded in your book. And that means that God knows what we're going to do this evening. God knows what we're going to do tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, all the week, every year, 2010, 2011, 12, till we die and after we die.
God created Adam, he's actually, let me tell you something.
Sure.
Adam, the first person in the world was God made. Mm-hmm. This is reincarnation. David is reincarnation of Adam. That's what it is.
That's not what the Bible says.
It is what the Torah says.
Please show us.
It's not here, but in Jewish Torah, that's what it says.
In Torah is first five books of the Bible.
Right.
It's Genesis, Exodus,
Leviticus.
Well, Ninochka, that's not supported by the Bible.
Okay.
We discuss here and we base everything here on the Bible. There's no proof of that. Reincarnation is something that Bible speaks radically against. Bible says person is dying, goes to heaven or to hell. There's no second life. That's what the Bible says. I'm talking about biblical understanding.
So you don't believe in reincarnation?
Well, I believe everything what Bible says. Again, this is our choice. This is our choice what to believe.
Exactly.
Ninochka, this is our choice what to believe. But I used to be really, you know, determined to find out what should I believe. And I remember when I was in the midst of people were inviting me to synagogue, people were inviting me to Bhagavad Gita, to study Buddhism, to study Muslim understanding of life. I was invited to everywhere, you know, like in 1994. When all the religious people started coming to the country, when they could make through the border, then all kinds of organizations were starting, like popping up very quick. And so some people were speaking about reincarnation, some people were speaking.
So can I ask you another question?
Now, let me tell you, my question was, God, reveal me your power. Prove to me what is the truth. And I was talking to many people and asking them, okay, what should I do to really meet God? And in my personal experience, I saw manifestations of power of God and real help of God when I started dedicating my life to the biblical principles. So when I follow and pray and see God according to Bible, according to biblical principles, then when the power is coming, talk to people who speak about reincarnation, talk to Buddhists, talk to Muslims, they do not see manifestation of God as Christians who study the Bible and believe the Bible. And that, for me, that was the major truth, like the major sign that I should stick with the Bible and not to the other sources of spiritual information. Because there are millions of books about spiritual world, there are millions of understandings, but why we stick to the Bible? Because we see that I pray for people and demons obey me. I pray for drug addicts, the spirit of drug addiction is obeying me and leaves the body.
Yeah, well,
other people are praying, devil is laughing at them. Devil is not afraid of other people, of other religions. But Christians are danger to the devil. That tells me that Christians really have the power. Because we go according to the scripture and God proves that this is the truth. So that's why we read the Bible, we receive the knowledge from the Bible, as all the Catholic people, Orthodox people, Protestant people. Again, your search is your search. You will seek and you will find. So I'm not asking you, you must believe as I believe today, change your mind. No. But what we are all doing is we're seeking the connection with God. And then God is leading everyone. So God will lead you your way.
Just one question.
Yes.
So for example, I'm saying the person is dying, right? So
yes.
There is no return. Okay, so
because God is the judge.
Come back to the earth for school, like to continue karma. That's what the karma is called. Understand?
Well, that's
we
not
all here
again.
To learn or like to fix.
But it's not. It's not what we Bible.
I
he's
the
Bible. That's not what the Bible says.
I'm trying to explain.
There is no verse in the Bible, even in the Torah. Even I did not find. I recently read first five books.
Yeah,
there's no support.
Yeah, but again, we should not fight about what we believe.
No, we're not gonna fight.
But what my request, Ninochka, my request that you would be open to learn more and more and more and more.
Not judge this is bad or this is good. Just read. Well, you know, just read in my room. Nobody's
right.
Asking you to do anything.
All
kidding.
Right, let's go further. Tanya, your turn. Verse 17 and 18. 17 and 18.
How precious also are those.
Your thoughts
into me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Then I awake, I'm still
with you.
With you? I'm
yeah,
still
it's
with
a bad light over there. Okay, so I, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me in this translation, O God? How precious are your thoughts? Again, he says that you created me, you love me so much. And then he says, how precious are your thoughts? They cannot be numbered. So you think about me so much. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Now, this is David expressing that God is thinking about us so much that the pieces of sand, there are trillions of them, right? So God's thoughts about us still more than the pieces of sand. Have you ever thought about somebody? For example, you want to buy somebody something. You go to the store, you buy somebody clothes, right? You buy somebody like a jacket or something. Yeah. And you come to that person and you say, here's the gift. And he says, oh, thank you so much for thinking about me. And you feel so good, that person is feeling so good. Why? Because I was thinking about him or her, and that person is really happy that I thought about him. Do you know what I mean? It's like when somebody brought you a gift and you think, wow, he thought about me. He bought me something. That makes you kind of, he thought about me. He was looking for that specific thing just for me. Now, can you imagine? God is thinking about us all the time. Constantly thinking, what would be the best for my son? What would be the best for my daughter? How can I help him in this situation? How can I help her to go further in that particular circumstance? God is constantly thinking about us. And the number of his thoughts about us, more than a piece of sand. I mean, unbelievable. And then David says, how precious are your thoughts? And then, and how many of them? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Who's next? Verse 19 and 20.
Against
destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Now, David is really negative about the people who speak something bad about God. Because he loves, here you can see how he loves God. He loves him so much. So every person who is blaspheming or who speaks something negative about God, he doesn't want to be connected with these people. It's like when people are really negative about the church, negative about Bible, negative about your lifestyle, negative about, you know, cursing and using God's name in the curses, you know, like they usually do. Our desire should be, I do not want to hear this about my God from his lips. So we should separate ourselves from people who are so negatively against God. Of course, if God brings them together, brings us together with them, we should try to help them in any way we can. But this is attitude, because he loves God so much. Okay, verse 21 and 22. Say that, but then Jesus said, now you love your enemies. You bless those who curse you. You do good to those who hate you. You turn the other cheek to those who hit you to one cheek. You turn the other cheek to him. So it's completely opposite theology. Why? Because now God says, I will stand in the middle and I will fight for you. When God was not fighting for people, then they fought for themselves. But now God is between us and our enemies. He says, if you let me fight for you, I will fight for you. So you do not say a word negative. You bless. You love them. I remember one story. One famous baseball player. Did I tell you this story? One famous baseball player got saved. This huge guy. True story. And he got saved, he came to church, he repented, and one of the guys in his team, baseball team, he was really making fun of him, and he came to him, now you're a believer, so now you have to turn to me the other cheek. Turn me the other cheek! And he hit him, and that guy is standing like, well, Bible, and he was like, just came to church, he was just saved, he didn't know the Bible well, but he knew that verse. If somebody hits you over here, you turn the other cheek. So he said, no, okay, you turn the other cheek to me now, come on, are you a believer? You go to church, okay, turn the other cheek. And he's like, he turned the other cheek, and that guy, second time, and laughing, that guy stood up and said, you know what? Bible never says what to do after that. So he took the beat.
There's no third secret, huh?
But the whole meaning, still, we should love everybody. So we should not hate our enemies. Okay, the last verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Just for Nina.
Yes,
it says everlasting life. And many places in the Bible we see eternal life, everlasting, eternal, like maybe 100 places where you see about eternal life. And God created us, and it says we his image and his likeness. So if he's eternal, our spirit is also eternal. So that means we never die.
We never die. The soul never dies. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so that means that after our body dies, we still will recognize one another.
Exactly.
We still will see one another. I will see you.
Of course.
You will see us.
But the thing is, and I believe that we come back into earth, so that's for sure.
Well, but
so
we have eternal life as our person. Like, I will stay your reminder forever. That's I, it's me, it's I am, the personality. So personality will stay. But again, I'm giving you the biblical perspective. You should, you can believe whatever you feel. Okay, so now, with this in mind, now let's pray for every circumstances, for every situation you experience, and believe that God loves you so much. God is going before you, God is going behind you, God surrounds you, God knows you from inside out. God knows how you created, God knows your destiny, God written every day of your life already ahead of time. His love is unbelievable. His love is uncomparable. His love is so tremendous. If we just think about it, we should rejoice. We should smile. Every time we go through hard time, read this psalm. Psalm 139, please remember this. This is a psalm that comforted me so many times. And I go through difficult times, I just read this psalm and I'm like, like, God loves me so much, I cannot even express it. I cannot even understand it. I cannot comprehend it. Unbelievable love. So, with this in mind, believe that anything is possible. Do not doubt that something is possible. Do not doubt that God prepared something good for you. Do not doubt that God has something wonderful in store for you. Do not doubt that tomorrow it's going to be hard or difficult. Yes, it could be difficult, but with God's help, you can go through everything. So believe God prepares a wonderful destiny for you in this country. Like Anya just came to America.
Welcome.
When? You could go?
Last
Friday. Last Friday.
Oh my God, last Friday.
Yeah. So, want to especially pray for Anya, if you don't mind. We'll pray for everybody, but especially we'll pray for you because you have a new beginning. But,
from where?
She got a business visa to work in the Muslim.
It's not a business visa, it's an H-1B. It's a working visa.
Ah, work, I'm sorry. Working visa in Muslim. So it's really amazing, like, God opened these doors. So, but again, God already prepared every day for you. You should understand that, that you're not alone. God knows you are here. God already prepared all the doors for you. And God prepared something good. Something wonderful. Something that you. Right now, you cannot imagine how good it is, because God loves you so much. We should understand it and believe it and confess it.
Sorry?
Yeah, Omsk is teaching people English. So, let's pray. Who has something urgent? Maybe some situation that is really urgent, whatever it could be. Huh?
To pray for.
Yeah, to pray for maybe this urgent need.
For me, for a job. I'm doing a
job. Okay.
For my unbelief.
For your unbelief, okay.
For me, but to decide that to take my visa. So, and for a job.
Ah, so your visa comes to you.
Not right now, but it's like at the end of the March.
Ah, okay. Yeah, but you need to understand now. Okay. So we will pray for the visa. Oh, not for the visa, but for the
visa. Yura, you remember? Yura, you remember you prayed for me? And I got
that. Oh, yeah. It's the that very day when you needed that.
Uh-huh.
The day before, I was about to leave. I was kidding.
Your special visa prayer.
Yeah. It was really funny.
Actually, I was in a very, very, very bad mood, emotionally, physically, and I needed to go home. And I couldn't get my visa. All the documents, everything was ready, and everything was sent to proper authorities. But I was waiting, and my
the day when I was supposed to leave, my plane tickets were ready, and I still don't have my visa, and I was so tired of everything, and I called Jure and I asked him to pray for me, for my visa, basically for the opportunity to go home, and he prayed with me over the phone, and I got my visa the day before I was supposed to leave.
Really?
Like Thursday I got my visa, and Friday I left. Or Friday I got my visa, and Saturday I left.
Yeah, praise God.
And by the way, I was planning to go earlier, like late August, and to go to Sochi, Black Sea with my parents. Everything was planned, but I didn't get my visa, and I had to change the ticket and postpone everything. And then I finally got my visa and went to Russia. And then we went to Sochi in October. And some people who were there for a long time, they said that in September the weather there was not good. It was cold, it was not good. But in August when we were there, it was perfect. Like perfect weather, warm water, everything was great.
No, the way around. September was warmer.
September when I was planning. But I didn't go because my visa was not
but
issued.
Later, yeah, it was
better. The weather was better than September. So I got there exactly when it was supposed
God
to be.
God prepares everything before us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. So, Brittany will pray for God's will. Modeling is something close to you. You pray for Ivan. And what else?